Okay, could I have a couple people help me with the communion and we'll receive that. Well, Father, we choose as an act of faith to look at this bread and discern the body of Christ so we can receive your healing. Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death on that cross. His body is absolutely sinless. And we look at this and we see stripes in this, in his body, and it's by his stripes we were healed. And his body has been beaten and bruised for us. And his body was pierced for us. And Father, we thank you that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. And we thank you that because you treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated, now because of him, you can treat us the way he deserved to be treated. We thank you for his broken body, and we receive your healing in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. We honor the blood of Jesus. We bless the blood of Jesus, and we praise the blood of Jesus. This blood has washed away our sins, and it seals in the New Testament promises for us. And we are protected by the blood of the Lamb. It is by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Father, we thank you for this. This blood gives us boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in time of need. And it's because of this blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. All right. Open up in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. John chapter 5, verse 4. I'm sorry. John chapter 5, verse 4. And I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us. We thank you that he will show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth, so that we can get the full revelation out of it that we need. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 4, has an account of Jesus running into a man and asking him the particular question. But there's a lot of people today find themselves in the same shoes is this guy. John chapter 5, let's just start at 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Will thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. The man immediately stood up and took off. But here's the thing. The man said, I have no man to put me in the water. A lot of people spend a lot of time looking for somebody to do something for them. The Bible says to believe on Jesus, you and your household shall be saved. Believe on Jesus. We are to cast our eyes on Jesus. You know, Smith Wigglesworth prophesied a long time ago, said that this particular day and time in this country would be a hard time for people to receive much from God. It would be a hard time for people to see many miracles. And here's why. There's so many choices that they can make. There's insurance. There's medicine. There's doctors. There's this. There's that. There's diet. There's all these other things that people run to. When the one thing that's needed for salvation is Jesus. The missionaries have come back. They said they'd be in Mexico. And somebody would come up and they'd say they need a cap on their tooth. The missionary would say, well, do you want gold or silver? And they'd say whatever they wanted, and he'd pray for them, and they'd get a gold or a silver cap on their tooth. They didn't have any other choice but to believe on God. Sometimes people really don't know what they miss out on until they're placed in a position where they're so close to the fire they can smell the heat. Somebody told me a long time ago, said, when God is your only friend, you're in the best place you could ever be. When I got in that position, I thought, oh my God, this is a hard place. Jesus said, in this world you would have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I didn't understand just how important that particular time in my life was going to be. But it made everything different. I knew about faith, you know, I knew about some stuff, but I didn't really know faith. And I didn't really know exactly what it was until I got in that position where I absolutely had to live by faith. Absolutely, every step had to be by faith, or I was toast. So then he brought me through that. And now it's like faith is just a second-hand nature to me. And then maybe sometimes it grinds me a little bit against the grain when I had to deal with doubt and unbelief. But I want you to notice something. Go to Luke or Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33. Jesus said, "To seek ye first." Circle that word first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This verse, because of gross misinterpretation of the Bibles and false teaching, have caused a lot of people a lot of misery. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did. Righteousness is not in clothing. Righteousness is not in your good works. Righteousness is because of the blood of Jesus. And it is about clothing too, because when you get born again, you get clothed with the robe of righteousness. But it's not about a fancy dress. I had somebody tell me the other day that they couldn't go to church because they didn't have good enough clothes. You just can't even imagine how irritated I am with that. Something happened in that particular church. There was a big fight, and the pastor left that place. But the people that caused the battle let these other people that didn't know anything about what was going on, they told them the pastor wanted everybody else to have nicer clothes. You just can't even imagine. First of all, I was hurt for them, and then second, I was really, really mad for a little while. That will not ever happen here. Amen? I got ran out of a church because I didn't have nice enough clothes. I was just a kid. Some reason I stumbled into the church, probably wanted a cookie and a cup of Kool-Aid, but I didn't have nice enough clothes, so they told me to skedaddle on down the road. That stuck with me, and I always thought that kind of was righteousness was about your clothing, and it is about your clothing, but it's the robe of righteousness that you get in, not this stuff that you put on. Amen. But I want you to look at this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the first thing we need to seek is the kingdom of God. I could probably go ask 100 pastors in West Texas what the kingdom of God is, and they'll tell me something about the mission field. They'll tell me something about preaching to somebody, witnessing to somebody. They'll tell me all kinds of things except for the one correct answer. The one correct answer. We're going to find that in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. And there is only one correct answer to this. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. So it's not in what you're eating. It's not in what you're drinking. It's not in your daily rituals. It's not in none of that stuff. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now I remember, on this next scripture I'm going to show you, I stumbled across this, and I just, I knew it was right, but I just couldn't understand it. And I asked the pastor about it, and he said, oh, no, 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 that's not it. But I couldn't find it again to show it to him. But I know it now, and I know it's true. And the man at the well could have used this verse. Everybody can use this verse. Because it doesn't matter where you are at any given time. The blessing is on the inside of you. And here's why. Luke chapter 17, verse 21 says, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. When you get born again, guess what happens? The kingdom of God is within you. Now, we got to get to that place where we're living in righteousness, love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. One of the fastest way to get to that place, God said, he will remember your sins no more. He died on the cross for your sin. He put you in right standing with him. Whatever was wrong between you and God before you got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. How much peace do you suppose it brings when you understand that God is not condemning you? A lot. You know, sometimes people don't understand this. But when you lived a lot of your life crazy, and knowing that you're condemned, and having people actually tell you you're going to hell, and then you find out that the blood of Jesus took care of that, that brings a lot of peace. You know, that peace is one of the things that people spend, the nation spends billions of dollars trying to find peace. People, They're looking for peace. They don't know what it really is, but they're looking for peace. And they go to the doctor and they said, this thing is just driving me crazy. The doctor said, here, I'll give you something to help that. They're like the man at the well. They're waiting for some man to put them in the pool when the angel troubles the water. But there's only one man that can bring you the peace that you're truly looking for, and his name is Jesus. Amen. The Bible says to believe on Jesus. So you're literally going to go through your Bible and you're going to start finding things that Jesus did for you. You know, it's a curious thing. When you get to Luke chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus was summing up what he had said before that. But he said, seek first the kingdom of God. You know, he said a lot of curious things. I want you to take your favorite crayon, and I want you to highlight these areas that we're going to cover. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's our first one. Circle that one. Write a number one by it. No compromise. You are not to live your life compromised. There are too many people kind of floating down the stream saying we're just going to have peace. We're going to get along with whoever we got to get along with. No! No more of that. That's why this nation is in a mess. That's why we have pastors running around promoting Chrislam. That's not even a legal word. Christ and Islam do not mix. Gay pastors is not a thing. Abortion is not a thing. No compromise. I had some pastors try to tell me one time, well, we all worship the same God. We do not. My God does not murder babies by the millions. My God does not promote gay pastors. My God does not promote gay marriage. My God promotes a straight and narrow way, and it's through Jesus. Jesus said, there is no man coming through the Father but through me. No compromise. None. No deal making. None. You got to have some spiritual spine. No deals. We win. Go down to verse 21. Verse 20. It says, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is an important verse. People don't think about this verse. And here's how it is. If you judge another man, if you try to hold another man accountable to the law, then you better be able to keep the whole law. Or your righteousness isn't going to exceed that of the Pharisees. So concerning anybody else, you better look to the cross and say, the blood of Jesus is good enough for me, it's good enough for him. Amen. Let's carry on here. Verse 21 says, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. It didn't say anything about not being angry with somebody. So without a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. What we need to do is teach love and walk in love. See, sometimes people get mad at somebody. Somebody got blessed and another Christian sat next to him and said, why did he get blessed and not me? And then they get mad. Well, why didn't we do this thing I wanted to do and we're doing something else? And they get mad. No. Walk in love. Be patient. Now here's the thing. People get confused about this love deal. They get confused in marriages all the time. We'll talk about that later. Well, the butterfly feeling's gone. I just don't feel like I love him anymore. Not talking about phileo love. He's talking about agape love. This is a covenant love. I mean, you're in covenant with somebody. Regardless of how you feel. You may want to twist their neck shut. But you don't do it because you're going to walk in agape love. I actually had somebody pull that card out on me one day. You're a pastor. You're supposed to be walking in love. I said, I'm not standing on your neck, am I? No. Then I think I'm doing a pretty good job of walking in love. And they shut up. Try. And here's the thing. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you're just going to pray to God and get. It's going to come out of a fellowship with Jesus. It's a fruit. It's not something you're just going to pray on yourself. It's something that's going to be developed because of your fellowship with Jesus. I didn't say relationship. I said your fellowship. Relationship and fellowship is different. Amen? Let's look at the next thing. Go down to verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. You know, somebody said something the other day, a pastor, a preacher, a well thought of preacher, said that when Jesus got here, he raised the bar on the law. Nothing could be farther from the truth. His law was already up there. What had happened is the people had dragged the law down to such a low degree that they thought they could keep it. Amen. When Jesus got here, he raised it back up to his high and holy standards. He raised it back up. But what he's talking about here is commitment. This is the covenant love. When you get married, you are in a covenant. A covenant. I don't care if it takes you 35 years to teach him how to get his underwear in the hamper and not squeeze the toothpaste in the middle. And I say this will go a long ways, causing you to have peace in your heart if you just learn to put the toilet seat down. It'll save a lot of strife. But see, what happens is there's these little idiosyncrasies that people get, and big ones. But you're in a covenant. The butterfly feelings may go away. They may stay away. The goosebumps may be gone for years. But you are in a covenant. When you honor that covenant, God will honor that. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes I've seen some women of faith get into some terrible, terrible situations where they were getting beat on. Physically beat on. mentally tortured. You don't have to stay in that. You're not obligated to be tormented and tortured. I've seen some of them stay in there, and God honored that. But if you get beat on, get out of there. That's not God's design. Although I have seen some women stay there, and the man got changed from the inside out. He says, save for fornication. Well, sometimes people weave when they should have wobbled, and they end up in bad situations. I've seen people where one of the couple had had an affair. Now you're at a crossroads. It can be fixed. I've seen that get fixed. I've seen marriages actually come out stronger through the other side. It's a horrible mess. It's a horrible mess. But you have the right to get out of that covenant if that happens. God will also honor it if you stay in there and fight for that and say, okay, you know, things got to change. It can get better. Amen? Prayer goes a long way. Those little napkins that we send out, we pray over and send out, I've seen those do some amazing things. One lady showed up in church, and she was broken. I said, what's wrong? So my husband kicked me out of the house. Drug me out. Kicked me out of the house. And I said, well, she said, I don't know what to do. And I said, can you get to his pillowcase? Yeah, I can do that. So we prayed over this napkin. She got it in his pillowcase. 2 weeks later, that guy is sitting in a chair, and his head, you could just tell his head is spinning. It's like, he didn't know what was going on. Only she had a smile on her face, and he was sitting in church. He had that deer caught in the headlights look on his face. You should have seen it. Prayer goes a long way, and it's important to have people in your corner that can help you stand in faith when you know what hits the fan. But commitment is something that a lot of people do not understand. They get mad because their Holy Ghost stud muffin that they were so in love with 6 months ago went hunting with his buddies, and they had to stay home and wash dishes. Or maybe this angel from heaven that you just thought you had to marry decided that she wanted to go to the movie with the girls and left you at home. Grow up and get over it. You're in a commitment, a covenant, not a marriage contract, a covenant. And sometimes it may get ugly. But your job is to stay in there. Stand in faith with them or for them and be committed to that thing. Let's go to number 4. Down. It says, again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. And I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven or by its throne, nor by the earth, for it is a footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. This is about keeping your word. I've had some pretty interesting journeys on this. I was living in Midland, Texas, and this guy came up and said, "Hey, will you marry me and my wife?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll do that. This wedding's going to be in Midland. That'll be easy enough to do." So the wedding was going to be 3 or 4 months down the road. And 3 or 4 months down the road, I'm living in Wyoming. The guy called me and said, "Hey, you still going to do my wedding?" Yep. Yep. So I went to my boss, said, "I need a week off." He said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "Nope." So what do you need a week off for?" I said, "Well, I'm gonna go to Medellin to a wedding." And he said, "You're nuts, you're kidding me. You're gonna drive all the way down to Medellin? Gas is $1.75 a gallon. Or diesel is $1.75 a gallon." Yep. He said, "You're serious, ain't you?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to go down there. I'm going to find us some work for these trucks. We'll just start a yard in Midland." He said, "Oh, you're crazy." I said, "Okay, I'll see you in a week." Guess what happened? God honored that. He made sure I got down there, made sure I found work for them trucks, made sure I got back, and made sure I got back down there. God will honor you. He will help you. He will do all kinds of amazing things for you if you'll keep your word. Now here's a popular thing in the world today. People give their word, say, "Yep, I'll do this." And then, you know, the price of this kind of came up, and maybe something happened over here, cost them a couple bucks, and maybe it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable to do this, and, you know, well, it's just not the same, so I'm not going to do it. Well, I know that I said you could do this and you could be here, but man, my friend is really in a bind. So, and he does a lot of nice things for me, so you just move over here and out of the way and we'll let him move in. God's not going to honor you in that. He's just not. Well, when you give your word to somebody, keep it. Even if it causes you some discomfort. Me having this lightning fast thinking machine, was living in Wyoming, and some girl come up and said, "Will you marry me and my husband?" I said, "Well, of course I will." So, come wedding time, me and my wife are living in Texas. And I'm sitting there thinking, when are you ever going to learn to say no? So they called and said, "You still going to marry us?" I said, "Oh, of course I will." So we got on another really cool journey, and God blessed us in that journey, and a lot of really good things happened. They got married, they're still married, and we came out of it good. You know, married weddings pay little to nothing. I never even ask anybody for anything. You know, usually they'll come up with $100 or $150. It doesn't matter. It just is what it is. They got enough. They're spending enough money getting married as it is, you know. But God really filled my pockets with cash during that trip, and it all worked out good. Now, I could have said, no, I moved to Texas. It's just not going to be convenient for me to keep my word. And then guess what would have happened? Nothing. They would have just said, yeah, this guy can't keep his word. We don't want nothing to do with him. And then none of the blessing part would have been attached to it either. Keep your word. Now here's one really, really tough one for me. Go to verse 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue you at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Stop defending yourself. There's a lot of times I got to sit there and think, you know, I go pop that old boy on the nose 2 or 3 times. I've been to jail before. It's not going to be a shocker. It ain't going to hurt my feelings. I know how to get around. And I got to just walk away and I think, oh, man. Here's a better way. Remember Jesus said, it is written? I've used this a couple times here lately, and it's worked out fantastically. Remember, God said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is your heritage as a servant of the Lord. So what are you going to do? You're going to go out behind the barn. And I hollered it. I was mad. I was talking to God, but my voice was elevated. I said, it is written, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. This is my heritage as servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is of the Lord. It is written that God causes all my enemies that rise up against me to be defeated before my face. They come out against me one way and flee before me 7 ways. It is written, God blesses those that bless me and curses those that curse me. You got to get some of those it is written's on your heart. Amen? Don't just sit there and wait for the devil to leave you alone, because he won't. You've got to get your mouth in gear. You're going to run your mouth regardless. You just as well get God's words in there and get it out in the atmosphere so them angels have something to do. Your angels are sitting on the bench, standing there, look at him. He's got all the armor of God. He's got the name of Jesus. He's got the word of God. He's got the sword of the Spirit. And he's sitting on his butt talking about his mountain. If he had just started saying something in line with the Word of God, we could get up off of these benches and go to work for him and cause God's Word to be performed on his behalf. There's too many Christians running around trying not to be angry. Jesus said to be angry and sin not. So how do you be angry and sin? I told you. That's how you be angry and sin. That's how you be angry and sin. How do you be angry and sin not? Go behind the barn and get mad. There might be one or two of you that have heard this song called Shout at the Devil. Maybe not. You go behind the barn and you shout at the devil. You start laying some "it is written"s on him. You start telling him what the Word of God says. And then you watch God stand up and defend you. Amen? Amen? There's Christians that are laying around with pent up anger on the inside of them because they're trying not to be mad. You know how stupid that is? That's just plumb biblically ignorant. Well, I'm not going to let them make me mad. Well, first thing, if they're doing something to make a Christian mad, then probably you should be mad. And the worst thing you can do is to try to keep it in here where it's going to develop ulcers, where it's going to develop sickness, where it's going to breed resentment and get worse and worse. You need to go out somewhere out in the country where your neighbors don't hear you and have you committed and get it out. You got to get it out. You have to get it out. It's not healthy for you to keep that in. You'll just keep thinking about it and thinking about it. And probably the idiot that made you mad hasn't thought about it once since that incident. Go get rid of it. Use the Word of God. Well, I'm going to get my revenge on him. Good for you, sweetie. I hope you have somebody to take you cigarettes while you're sitting in jail. If we'll cast it over onto Jesus and let God take care of it, you're going to have to use the Word of God. I'm telling you, these verses that I keep repeating to you and repeating to you and repeating to you, I don't know how many times I've said them in church, that's my defense mechanism. There's a lot of bombs coming your way. You need to learn to get that word in your mouth and get it in the atmosphere so God can take care of that. when somebody does something bad towards me or says something bad towards me, they have to understand those verses are going to be looking them right in the face. They're not going to deal with me. I've finally learned that I don't have to physically do something. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to sit there and not do anything. That word of God is going to be flowing out of my mouth. And them angels are going to be on the job. Matter of fact, there's one guy I just found out the hard way yesterday. But you get that word of God in your mouth and get it out in the atmosphere and give those angels something to do. Amen? You know, there is some people that live an evil life and they have no regard for anybody else. And you have a choice. You can fight in the flesh or you can fight in the spirit. I suggest fight in the spirit and let God take care of the deal for you. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection, and everything that he's doing for us right now at the right hand of God as our high priest. We thank you that we will see Jesus face to face and he will complete our redemption. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What do we have?